studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Thursday session of Abounding Grace as we close our study this week in the book of Romans chapter 3. And we've been looking at these two types of righteousness, these two systems that are at work. One system is a theology of glory that puts the emphasis upon man doing it himself to produce this righteousness before God. The other system says that no, you cannot. That is why the cross is needed and you must go through Jesus Christ to receive by faith this righteousness that God will actually accept. And so in verse 23, Paul said, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," emphasizing yet again, none can obtain it in themselves. You can't be a theologian of glory. Jews and Gentiles both, all have missed the mark terribly. And that is what sin is, a missing of the mark of obtaining to the righteous standard that God demands. But those who have faith in Christ to all and on all who believe, they are what? Freely justified, freely declared righteous by His grace. See, that's what makes this whole section so glorious in light of what preceded it. The discussion on sin was very dark last week. But then when you come to the "but now," it's so glorious. And that's why we have to be willing to hear those very grim descriptions of our natures. When we hear those descriptions, we are willing to stop saying, "I can do it myself." And you are finally ready to receive and hear about the way that God will accept. You see, when one comes empty and broken and to the Lord and he says, "I can do nothing," and he looks over the horizon and sees by faith the revelation of Christ in his glory, and he believes in him, a great exchange occurs. And we realize that all of our filth, all of our cursing and bitterness, all of our righteousness as a filthy garment was laid upon his back when he went up Golgotha to pay for sin. And when I trusted in Christ, recognizing that I can do nothing to free myself from this misery, God justified me freely by his grace. That means now he does not see you as you once were when you were dead in trespasses and sins. God has granted and imputed, that means he has reckoned to your very account, Jesus Christ's righteousness, just as if you had never sinned nor been a sinner. That's how he sees the Christian. In verse 24, we read that God set forth this Jesus as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. And that is the single most amazing truth of the gospel. That an angry God simultaneously shows his love and provides the only sacrifice that is able to pacify him, the only offering that he will accept, the only shedding of blood that will remove and expiate his wrath against sin, the offering up of his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb provided by him without spot. You see, the cross is the only way. It's the only way that the old man is actually put to death. It's the only way, as Galatians 5:24 states, that we crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, that the old man is mortified or killed. People are always after a changed life. The only path to true change is to go through the cross. So that when we believe and receive and see Jesus by faith there, his hands nailed down, his crown of thorns, his beating, his sufferings of body and soul, we actually see our very sins as those instruments of cruelty being laid upon him and being put to death in him. And that is what this is saying. This propitiation, that means satisfaction, appeasement. This satisfaction, God will accept as our very old man is crucified with Christ. And so here it is used to explain the great initiative that is taken by God himself to remove the great barrier, the great offense that has disrupted our relationship with him, sin. And here it is so beautifully said that this means of expiation, of wiping away our sins, is the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. God set forth. The word means to plan. It means to purpose. God planned and purposed from his own resources to set forth the propitiation. That is why it is the gospel. Because if God provides this, it will do the job. This is known in what we call the substitutionary atonement. Jesus came and stood in your place. He is your head who filled in for you so that all of your debt, all of your sin, and all of your misery fell upon him, and God collected his righteous justice from the substitute, the Lamb. And that was always pictured throughout the Old Testament as a perfect lamb would be sacrificed, or as Abraham saw that ram in the thickets instead of his son that satisfied, pointing and telling us that it's God's almighty son who would pay this penalty. The ransom is paid through the substitute, that all of God's righteous anger is poured out upon him instead of you. Remember in the Old Testament, when God accepted a sacrifice, fire would fall from heaven and consume the sacrifice to show his approval. His wrath would fall upon the sacrifice. When we think of propitiation, we are reminded of the covering over the ark of the mercy seat, that blood would be sprinkled on and God's wrath would be turned. All of this pointed to Christ. In his forbearance, he had passed over all those sins committed before Christ came, so that now, through this great revelation of his righteousness, he might demonstrate his righteousness. He might demonstrate that he is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. And that means, my friends, when God looks upon those who believe, whatever he saw when Christ walked this earth, and we know what that was, perfect obedience to the law and payment for sin, whatever he saw in Jesus Christ, he now sees you as. Because Christ kept the law, so do you in him. And by grace have been given eternal life. Because he paid the curse, so you are free from the bondage of sin, and all of God's wrath is removed from your head. There is perhaps no passage in the whole scripture, said John Calvin, which illustrates in a more striking manner the efficacy of Christ's righteousness. It's a glorious gospel, isn't it? And a glorious Savior. That is the heart of everything the Bible is saying to you. And this is why we should be so excited about what God has done for us. Here is where you can see that the only correct way is to be a theologian of the cross. Now, the one who despairs of himself and comes to the horrible realization that the only way he can be freed from his sin and misery is through Christ's atonement, he realizes that a theology of the cross is the only way. And so that is what we're left with today. We go back to the addict. Let's start here. We go to the rich young ruler. He came to him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life, Jesus?" Jesus sets forth the law. Paul said in Romans 3:20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The rich young ruler walked away sad because at least he thought, maybe I could try to do this, but I can't. He walked away sad because he knew and he tried to do this in his own power. And Jesus set the law before him, and it meant that he would have to, in his own power, sell all his riches if he were to be saved. Instead, what should have happened, that was a theologian of glory. A theologian of the cross hears Jesus. He comes to Jesus. "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, so on and so on. And you think, why is Jesus laying the commandments before me? What it should produce in the theologian of the cross is, "Lord, I can't. I am stuck in these sins. I need you. Totally and completely. These," says Jesus, "I will never cast out. These are the justified ones." And so we go back to the addict. He has a choice. Thou shalt quit. You by nature are that addict today. What has been your approach to the Lord in your life? Two choices. Are you falsely in vain confidence in your glory road as you trust in yourself, trying to walk up Jacob's ladder yourself? Sadly, has the law become for you a defense and a shield against the free gift? Or have you began to call a spade, saying, "I am an addict. I am an alcoholic. I am a sinner. That confession will be a way of life for the true believer until Christ takes away our sin. But the real difference here between the two types of people is where their trust is. Isn't that true? When whom is their trust? God gives us this description today, and he says, "In whom is your trust?" One despises God's description of our natures and says, "No, thank you," and he sees the cross as a charity event. That's the theologian of glory. Let me describe him a bit for you. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." There's the theologian of glory. Here's a theologian of the cross. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Who went away justified, my friends? The theologian of the cross, who in broken humility before his sin, comes to the throne of grace, standing afar off, won't even raise his eyes to heaven, but beats his chest and cries out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because you can't keep the law." Jesus said after that, "I tell you that this man went down to his house justified." We are so thankful you join us each and every week at Abounding Grace to tune in that we might be encouraged with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you would like to know more about this Jesus, we do proclaim him in season and out of season at the Linden United Reformed Church. We promise to open the scriptures and show him from all of scripture that he might give weary sinners great hope in this world. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Website is lindenurc.com. 318-0429 is the phone number. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ today in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.